Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Safe in his arms.
Amen.
No better place to be. No better place to be. Hallelujah. Well, as you all know, I like starting with a song. And, you know, Patty indicated about, you know, the songs that we do here at church and knowing personally, being on praise and worship for a while, she's very selective in the music that she plays up there, and it has to be God's word. It can't be anything else. It has to be, and that taught me something, because I love music. But when I'm listening to music, in the past, if it made me feel good, I liked it, because it's gospel music. Why not? But not all gospel music is God's word, as Patty indicated. So we have to be careful we're allowing into our spirit. And so since then, I really truly listen to what are the words of this song. Is it truly God's word? Or is it just something that they're feeling, you know, or what have you? So when I'm very meticulous when Pastor asked me to teach. And, of course, I like starting with music. And I'm very meticulous in making sure that this is the song that God wants me to bring to his people. And the song ministers to me as well. And I make sure that it's God's word that's being said in these songs. So just a word to everyone. Be careful what you put your ear to. Because not everything is God's word. Just because they may be a gospel musician or Christian musician, pull up the lyrics on Google. Ask Siri to read the words to you. Because it may not be God's word. And then if you're unsure about it, check God's word to see if it lines up with that. Because I do love music, but we have to be careful what we put our ears to. We have to be careful. So if you would play the song. And I really like this song. It's by Anthony Brown and group therapy called Worth.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. Thought I was to die for. Oh, you thought I was to die for. You thought I was to die.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Hallelujah, we thank you that you thought we were to die for. Hallelujah, thank you, Father God. And Father God, I commit myself to you. I deny myself right now, Father God. All of you and none of me, I am a willing vessel. Fill me up so I can minister to your people. And I just thank you, Father God, in the process of ministering to myself. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And when I was listening to this song earlier today, I thought about something to the single folks. In this song, you know, sometimes somebody may bring a line, oh, my gosh, you're so beautiful. You are to die for. Jesus saved me. You know, Jesus, I already had someone to die for me. Jesus died for me. But guys, use that line. Oh, my gosh, you're so beautiful. You're to die for. Just say, I already have somebody to die for me. What else can you do? Just thought I'd say that. Just thought I'd throw that out. Your big brother died for you already, okay? Hallelujah. But he thought we were to die for. Hallelujah. Glory. I hope that song ministered to someone. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, the title I have is Blessings and Tithing. Proverbs 12, verse 1 and verse 15. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Not me. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. This man, and I don't know why he had me starting off with those two scriptures, but hey, it's the word. And this message is not to condemn or to bring, it's not to condemn or to bring condemnation, but to bring revelation. Amen. To yourself, to me, to us, yes. To our situation. Yes. It's not to condemn and it's not to bring condemnation. So please don't take it that way. Don't be so easily offended. When you get offended, you go off and you end the process of what God is trying to do, offend. So don't be easily offended. You know, take it in stride. If it ain't meant for you, you know, sift it out. Okay, that ain't meant for me. Sift it, sift it, sift it. And take what God has for you and leave the rest there. So don't be so easily offended by God's word. It's God's word and it's not going to change for you. So anyway, it's not going to change for any of us. God is God and his word is true. And it hasn't changed in how many years? Okay. Just receive this with an open heart. You know, and listen to God. And it's not about us. It's about advancing the kingdom of God, our Lord and our Savior Christ in these dark times right now that we live in this world. That's what it's about. And tithing is a critical part of that. It's a critical part of advancing the kingdom because you need money. Our church, our home where we're fed at, this storehouse, we minister to people. On YouTube, on the Podbean, on all of this, where we're reaching out to people, not just here, not just in the United States, but other countries, as we have heard in the testimonies that's been given, that's money. That takes money. God wants you to show him the money. That takes money. And tithing and offerings is what help covers that. When pastor has special offerings, the building fund, going to these other ministries, helping the orphans. He said in his word about helping orphans and widows, uh-huh. We're commanded to do that. That's in his word. That's where tithing and offerings come in to help, and the special offerings. You know, we need to get back here. That's the building fund. That's the building fund. That's a beautiful place back there. Money went into that back there. And we're letting a little water thing stop us from getting back there. All right. It's about advancing the kingdom. It's about advancing the kingdom. And that's part of our tithes and offerings that we talk about. Because we have to be debt free in order to give more into the church. And tithing help us to become debt free. It help us to become debt free if we tithe right. And tithing, if you're doing everything else, you know, you're tithing of your time, you're doing this and you're doing that as far as what God has said. But if you're not tithing, you're still missing that piece of the puzzle. And tithing could be that last one little push that you have to do in order to step over into what you've been believing God for to manifest. That one small piece of the puzzle, but it's a crucial piece of the puzzle. Like I said this morning during tithes and offerings, it's not going to keep you out of heaven, but you won't have heaven here on earth. You know, and we want some of the finer things in life, and tithing is part of that, to gain those finer things in life. And God's word is knowledge for us before the test comes. That's what his word is. If we study his word, when that test come, when that situation come, we already got a word to put on it. When that test come, when that situation come, you've already tithed toward it. You've already gave an offering toward it. Name your seed. Don't just put the money in an envelope. Name your seed, what you believe in God for. No matter how small it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because what matters to you matters to God. What concerns you concerns God, your father, your daddy, your Abba Father. It concerns him, your daddy. So tell your daddy when you're writing out that offering, when you're putting that offering in that envelope, what you believe in God for. What are you believing him for? In Hosea 4 and 6, he says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And that's knowledge from reading his word. Not knowledge of man, but knowledge for him for reading his word. And tithing is in the Bible. They did it Old Testament and they did it New Testament. Yes. So some people think tithing is just Old Testament. No, tithing is New Testament as well. But my people perish. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. So your knowledge must exceed or go beyond your current situation. So when you have God's word, his knowledge, when, as I stated, when that situation comes, you already know what to do. You've already tithed toward it. You already planted that seed toward it. And God, he's already said that. And tithing, it is about obedience, what it boils down to. It is about obedience. You're going to do it or you're not going to do it. You made up in your mind whether you're going to do it or not. It's just giving back to our God, our daddy, our father, a small portion, 10% of what he's already blessed us with. Through different avenues, God blesses us. Somebody could come up, give you $20, $5, $10, $100, whatever the case may be. That's God blessing you. God using that person to bless you. Thank the person, but praise God and thank him. Thank the person because they were obedient. But praise God in the process. But praise him in the process. That's what it's about. And as we all know in Malachi 3, 6 through 12, and I want to read all of that because it's very critical. And you've heard this scripture over and over again. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Have we turned away from God in these days and times? Have we turned away from God? Nothing has changed. God ain't changed, and the times are just repeating itself. But we as Christians, we've got to do better. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. What's going on in our nation? So much stuff going on in our nation because we're robbing God. We're robbing God. Christians, not the world. Uh-huh. Christians, because that's what it's about. It's about Christians. Not, the world is doing what they do best, but we are not doing what we're supposed to do. Glory to God. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I would not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. These scriptures right there provide us some peace, knowing that God is protecting that other 90% if we do as he has commanded us to do. You know, Miss Jim talked about last Sunday about tithing the 10%, and 10% off the gross, not the net. Before the 401k, before the insurance, before state and federal, because they don't even ask you, they just take it. What state, federal, Medicare, and FICA. I remember my kids asked me, who is Medicare and who is FICA? Taking my money when they first got their first paychecks. But when you tithe off the gross, and Ms. Jim, I thank you for bringing more revelation to that. When you tithe off the gross, as Ms. Jim was talking about, your 401k is blessed. The enemy can't steal your money through health issues. Going back and forth to the doctors unnecessarily, he's attacking your health because you gave him 10% of net, so the other money that went to that other stuff hadn't been blessed. Okay. Uh-huh. You see where I'm going here. Okay, like this past week or so, the stock market took a big hit. It took a big hit. Was yours covered? Did God prevent the pest from devouring your crops? It took a hit. But if we tithe off the gross, what impacts the world won't impact us negatively. It can be a blessing, and God can give us back double for our trouble, and that's in the word. That's in the word, double for our trouble. Glory to God. And why are we procrastinating about tithing? Procrastination is not a sin, but it's a delay. It's a wait. It's a standby. When you procrastinate about it, sometimes we do it out of fear. Bring it to the choir. We do it out of fear. Are you afraid you won't have enough money at the end to pay this, to pay that? In my case, pay the water bill, power bill, Jessica's rent, Jessica's car note, Jessica's insurance. It's all about Jessica. I mean, really, get over ourselves. Get over ourselves. God says in his word in Hebrews 13 and 5. Where are we? There we go. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So why are we procrastinating about tithing? God said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He's our helper. He knows we need to pay bills. We live in a world where we need money. He knows that. He's just asking for 10%. Why you think he won't help you pay your bills? Why we think it? Why we think that? He said he would never leave us and never forsake us. We've got to get over that. And now, and just kind of a side journey here, I've been reviewing our bank statements, going through stuff to make sure I've captured everything for taxes. You know, just highlighting everything. Oh, yeah, I got that covered, got that. And, you know, so, and I think, And in the midst of doing that, again, I thought about something Ms. Jim said. Our money direction shows our heart affection. And that stood out with me because I wrote it down. And while I was doing that, that came back to me, Ms. Jim. So that was kind of a wake-up call for me. Some adjustments are being made. And we need to look at that. So check out your bank statements. See where your money going. See where that direction is. Check out, because I saw some stuff. I'm like, ooh, yeah, okay. That's a little bit on there too many times. Ms. Jim stated, our money direction shows our heart affection. Check out your bank statements. It was a wake-up call. Where's our affection? Glory to God. So, and I want to be ready. So when the God opens these different doors of opportunity for me, I don't want to be trying to get in position. I want to be already in position. Because God can open up opportunities for us. He's made ways, but because our money ain't right, we can't do it. You have all these other things. Your heart's good. You love the Lord. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're praying in tongues. You're speaking in tongues. But you ain't tithing. Your living ain't lining up with your giving, and your giving ain't lining up with your living. So you got to be ready. You got to be in position. So when that opportunity comes, you're ready. When you see a brother or a sister in need, or someone in the world in need, still your brother and your sister, because we're all God's creation. We're just not all his children, just he wants to take to become saved. But when we see someone in need, someone needs their house payment made, their car payment made, someone just needs groceries. You have the heart's desire to do it, but you can't for whatever reason. We as Christians need to be in a position where we can just go to the store, go pick them up, or say, hey, meet me at such and such. Meet me here. Meet me there, whatever grocery store. Let me go buy you some groceries. See a single mom struggling. Let me help you out. Let me pay a week's daycare for you. But if you're not in position, you can't do that. We have to be ready, and we have to be in positions. You know, and we can't, as Christians, and I heard someone say this, I can't remember who it was right now, we cannot be a people of selfies. You know, all selfies, hey. But we need to be a people who are selfless. And I was telling Pastor about this, and my husband kidded me about it. I was telling about it the other night at fellowship, what, a couple of Sundays ago, last Sunday. I don't know. I can't remember now. But Nick Saban came to my job. And so I'm working, doing what I'm supposed to do. People coming up to me, Miss Wanda, did you know Nick Saban was out there? I said, okay. People kept coming, Miss Wanda, Nick Saban is here, okay. And as I was about to get up, the Holy Spirit quickened me quickly and said, if that was me walking through that door, would they recognize me? Would they want to take a selfie with me? I sat back down. I just kind of eased back down in my seat. I said, Nick ain't Jesus. I love Nick, don't get me wrong. Great coach, but he ain't Jesus. That's right. I just sat back down. And folks said, Miss Wanda, you're not going to take a picture? I said, he ain't Jesus. Now my husband said, girl, go take a picture. And Pastor laughed at him when he said that, okay? I'm going to tell y'all about y'all pastor, okay? Sitting over there. But I thought about that. People, and Tasha know this, people was getting off the phones. Folks were shutting stuff down and to take a picture. What if Jesus walked through that door? Would they recognize his hands to see that it's Jesus? Would they recognize his feet? Would they recognize that little hole in the side? Would they want to take a selfie with him? Priorities. And I'm saying nothing's wrong with that, but God convicted me, and I sat my tail back down and kept on working. But we have to be careful about that. You know, we have to be careful. You know, and blessings. You know, we are blessed people. We're on our way to heaven. We just need to enjoy the ride. And tithing is enjoying the ride. We got to enjoy the ride. We can't be looking doom and gloom. Folk don't want to come to church. If you looking all doom, hey, come go to my church. Okay, what's your address? And, you know, I'm just saying, people looking at us, y'all. People are looking at us. We are a reflection of our God. We are a reflection of our Jesus. You know, and I heard, I think it was Pastor John Gray. He stated that, you know, it may have been him, I'm not sure now. But he stated, you know, one of the reasons Lucifer got kicked out because he wanted to be God. Because he, and it's going a little off tithing, but he wanted to be God. He wanted to be glorified. And that's where we as Christians sometimes get caught up in the material stuff, because we want to be glorified instead of us reflecting the glory of God.
That's right.
We're reflectors. So when we're out in the world, when we're talking to people, we need to reflect the glory of God. And the glory of God don't look pitiful. The glory of God doesn't look doom and gloom. That's not the glory of God. I don't know what that is, but it's just not the glory of God. But we are made to reflect the glory of God. And we need to be reflecting that in our talking, in our walking, in our actions. People are watching us. You may not know it, but people are watching you. My sister today was telling me about, was at our grandson's third birthday party. My sister met someone, her husband's somebody, I don't even know. But anyway, and my sister found out this lady work at the same place. And so my sister asked, do you know my sister, Wanda Brown Phillips? She said, oh, yes, I love her. I don't even know who this woman is. I have no idea. She told me the name. I said, oh, okay. I have no idea. People watching you. People watching you. They're watching your walk. They're watching your talk. They're watching your actions. They're watching to see if you're walking, lining up with your talking. They're watching. Christians. They're watching. They're watching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One, Jabez. You know, Jabez is only mentioned, what, three times in the Bible? But Jabez, he was the last message I taught, he had that crazy faith. Jabez had some crazy faith, and he got blessed in the process. 1 Chronicles 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Okay, side journey. Watch what you name your children. Side journey.
That's right.
Our youngest son, Michael, and his name means the image of God. And so, and some people call him Mike. I call him Michael. Because when he hears his name, he hears image of God. And if y'all notice Michael, Michael don't walk like this. Michael walks like this. Because he's in the image of God. So we need to watch what we name in our kids just going somewhere. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to name them. Okay, back. Back, okay. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. I think that was kind of immediate because it wasn't like five more scriptures and then it said God granted his request. I think it was kind of immediate based off this. Jabez believed that God would bless him. He spoke a powerful prayer. Expand my territory, enlarge my territory. And he got blessed. You know, and blessings mean to cause to prosper. And God wants to prosper us, to make happy. God wants us to be happy, you know, and to speak well of. Our daddy speaks well of us. He whispers things to people so people can bless us. Go bless my child. She's doing great today. Go speak a good word to her. Go speak a good word to him. Take my child lunch. And I get blessed like that all the time from folks on my team. Bringing me lunch, things like, I mean, just awesome. God is so good. God is so good. And just, I'm about to, coming to an end, y'all. Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to read that entire chapter. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd and the lambs of your flocks, your baskets and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come out and blessed when you go, blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people. He has promised you on an oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any other commands I give to you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. That's the blessings of the Lord. Yeah. Now, if you don't follow his commands, it's the opposite of all of that. Yeah. We may not have the crops, the barns, but you have jobs, you have bank accounts, you have 401ks, you have children. The blessings are being obedient. I'm going to end with this. Tithing is a lifestyle. It is an intentional practice. It is not something to take lightly or foolishly. Amen. 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 Thank you.